I'm so glad that we have this refuge, you know, in the Lord, where you can just kind of, you can just come to your Father, you know, and it's okay now. It's all right. We just, Father, thank you for your mercy. You know, thank you for your grace. And Father, I just come back. That's it. The devil wants to kick you when you're down, you know. You make a mistake, he just wants to rub it in your face and rob you of your joy and get you into condemnation and guilt. And he tries to heap the shame upon you, man. That's why we run to Jesus, amen. And we just deal with it right there. Lay it at the cross, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Your blood avails for me, amen. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow from this, amen. I'm going to be wiser next time, and hallelujah. But you know, sometimes, guys, we have to taste the ugliness of sin to learn that it's not good for us, you know. And it's not worth it, is it? It's just not worth it. And I say this often because this is a relationship. That you don't do things that grieve the one you love. You know, not deliberately. But sometimes we still do that accidentally. How many here are married or been married? Ever offend your spouse? Now, don't lie. Many times maybe, right? And how many have offended your spouse and not even realized you did? Guys, how many know what I'm talking about? You feel my pain, brother? Sometimes you're like, what? What did I do? Sometimes we're clueless, us guys, you know? We're like, we offended our woman. We're not even sure what we did, you know? And it works both ways, by the way. Come on. So the thing that we need to know is that there is plenty of mercy, plenty of grace at the cross, at our Father's throne. We just come and kneel. Say, Lord, thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Thank you. Because of that blood, I can be forgiven. And now I confess my sin. Because you are faithful and just. That's who you are. To forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, guys, I'm convinced the reason why some people don't really open their heart to God is because, number one, they've never experienced Him. They've never actually tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Or they feel that God can't be trusted because they have learned not to trust anybody in their life. And therefore, how can I trust anybody? Because the people in my life, even authorities in my life, have betrayed me or let me down. And so sometimes people, based upon their own experience in life, have a difficult time opening their heart to God, thinking that if I make myself vulnerable, I'll be taken advantage of. Isn't that what happens? Because that's the way it is in the world, amen? And sometimes we look at our Heavenly Father in view of our own experiences in this life. But it's clear from Scripture that in God's presence is fullness of joy. There's joy and there's pleasure. Do you know that God created us to experience pleasure? Pleasure is not a sinful thing as long as it's good pleasure, godly pleasure. We were designed for Him and in His presence. Psalm 16:10. The psalmist says, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now, we know that this is prophetically speaking forward to the time of Jesus, amen, His death and His resurrection, that He would not remain in the grave, amen. But it says in Ephesians 4, when Jesus ascended on high, He took captivity captive, you know. And there was an emptying out of this place of the departed dead at that time, where people, it's called Abraham's bosom. Jesus spoke of it, you know, where there was a temporary holding place for the wicked and for the righteous. And who were the righteous? Well, the righteous were the ones who were justified the same way we are today. And that is by faith in God. They believed God. They looked forward to the promise of God. And today we look back to the cross. Amen? And we see that God has made a way for us through the cross. That the veil of the temple is now open. The way into heaven is open for us. And we can come with confidence, with boldness, into the very throne of our Father. And in His presence, it says, is fullness of joy. It says, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, the devil lies to people. And I was watching something with my wife the other day. It was a brief little video thing. And it was a pan flute. Anybody ever heard the pan flute? And there was this young man playing the pan flute, and he was playing beautifully. And I think he was playing How Great Thou Art. Was it Amazing Grace? And we were noticing the crowd of people there. I don't know what kind of sect or group or whatever they were. I know that they had head coverings. But we were watching, and we noticed something, that the people were all somber. And I don't think there was a soul out there smiling or actually enjoying that moment. They were just stone-faced as this beautiful music was playing. And I was thinking, these people are bound. They're bound. God created us as emotional beings with the ability to experience pleasure. Amen? And our joy, our pleasure should come from the Lord. Amen? He should be the one that delights us. Not MTV. So, in His presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, He's also talking about, you know, of course, to the saints of that time as well. But often when you read the Psalms, they're speaking not only for that moment, but also it's prophetically projecting towards the future. Amen? To the time of when Christ would come. So ultimate pleasure is not found at Chuck E. Cheese, okay, or the bar. I can remember spending some New Year's Eves at the bar back in the day. And getting trashed and thinking how empty, how really disappointing this is. Looking around at a bunch of broken people just like myself and saying, is this all there is? Trying to fill up on things that can't satisfy you. Trying to find pleasure in earthly things. You know, they are doing studies. The scientists have discovered that there are certain drugs that rob people of their ability to sense pleasure. I know heroin being one of them. I think cocaine. And so that's why people are always trying to take more and do more so that they can get to the next level, to the next peak. And methamphetamine, same kind of thing. And what it does is it gives you that temporary high, but then it leaves you lower than you were. And that's exactly what the devil does. The devil will give you something on the short term, amen, that will leave you lower than before. He never gives anything without taking more. Isn't that the way it is? He'll give you something, temporary pleasure, but then he requires more in return for it. I remember reading a book about a woman who went down to Mexico and she was studying to be a psychic. And they had all these choices of gods that they could call on, or ascended masters, they called them. Mediums. And one of them was called Jesus. Imagine that. Of course, it was a false Jesus. It was a counterfeit. It was a demon impersonating Jesus. She said, well, Jesus is a good dude. I think I'll go with him, you know. The name of the book is, I think, The Beautiful Side of Evil. It shows you just how the enemy presents things in a beautiful way to entice people into it, to make them think that it's a good thing. You know, it's kind of like Adam and Eve had to have saw something pleasurable in that tree that was forbidden, you know. And so they were attracted to it. How many know that sin is attractive? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temptation, right? But what we have to look is we have to look beyond that and say, but it's not worth it. it's actually settling for something less than what God has to offer. The devil wants to be worshipped. So he will offer you something in exchange for your worship. Because when you listen to him, you're in a sense, you're bowing down to him. Isn't that true? When we listen to his voice, we're actually serving him. And so what he does is he presents something that is really inferior, as though it were superior to what God is offering, and entices people with that. And if they bite and they take a hold of that, that forbidden thing called sin, then it leaves you empty. It leaves you lower than where you were. You get a temporary sense of satisfaction, but then it always produces death. For the wages of sin is what? It's death. Amen. So, how many know that ultimate pleasure is found in the presence of the Lord, right? And not in this world. Some Christians, and I was thinking about that group of people, I don't know where they stood with the Lord, but, you know, that's between them and God. But I was thinking, man, they're not enjoying the journey. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. You've heard it. And, you know, I don't want to live that way. And that's not the way God wants his children to be. How many want our children to be joyful and happy? And rolling on the floor and playing with our kids and have a good time with our kids? Come on, somebody. We were made in his image. In his likeness. So some Christians, they live as if you have to die and go to heaven before you can experience the pleasures of God. Some glad morning, brother, but right now the devil. You know what I'm talking about? You're into some people. How you doing? Oh, the devil's been on my tail. Oh, the devil. Forget the devil. Start focusing on things above. Set your sights on things above. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Tune into Heaven Station. Get out of the gutter. Because that's just what he wants to do, is he wants us to focus in the wrong place. He wants us to look at our problems. Because when you're focusing on your problem, it has a tendency to get bigger than it really is. He magnifies the lie and make it look as if it's true. So, I mean, a lot of Christians will admit, they'll teach on, preach on, speak on, talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Well, the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and all those good things, you know. But sometimes they have a problem believing that joy and love and peace is something that you can actually experience and feel. As if somehow we're supposed to live independent of our feelings. And there's some theology out there that teaches, and that's why probably was going on in that circle there. And everybody told her, you can't be joyful. You can't be happy. You can't express yourself, amen, in dance or expressions of praise to God or laughter. Oh, no forbidden. How many know the Lord is the same in your living room as he is here in church, amen? It's not an event that we're doing here. Amen. We're just a bunch of people getting together. Amen. And enjoying the presence of the Lord together. Amen. Learning, being instructed, but imparting something, sharing in the life of Jesus together. Amen. As a family. Amen. But that religious spirit, you know what I'm talking about, wants to rob people. Put them in legalism and bondage and performance mode to where all they can see is what's wrong and what's broken in my life. And the enemy just heaps it on and heaps it on until a person's in depression. Because they're looking in the wrong place. They need to look to the cross and they need to realize that God has already taken care of that thing. Amen. It's already done. Hallelujah. If I confess it, praise God, it's done. It's over. It's under the blood. Amen. I don't need to live in it anymore. I'm pressing on here. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants you to be free. Because I know what it's like. Sometimes you mess up and then you just feel condemned. You feel like, how can God use me? How can I be of any value anymore after what I did? I'm such a hypocrite. Ever feel that way? Say amen. When you blow it, sometimes you just feel like, man, what a hypocrite. Of course, the devil's very quick to come right up and say, you're just a hypocrite. That's when you need to send him on his way. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. That's who you are. You might have done something outside of your true character in Christ. You might have yielded to the flesh temporarily, amen, but you're not staying in that. You're not dwelling in that. Amen. A righteous man may fall seven times, but he what? Gets back up. Why? Because there's something going on the inside that compels you, amen, towards the Lord and to your Father's house where there's mercy, where there's grace, where there's acceptance. When the prodigal came home, hallelujah, there was a celebration. Amen? Jesus already took care of that at the cross. Hallelujah. And if you love Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. You just want to learn from those things and you want to press on. Praise God. You can help. And it helps us sometimes to understand our need of Him. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord in my life. I need His grace. I can't do this without the grace of the Lord. Sorrow is a God-given emotion. Godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10, produces repentance, leading to salvation. Sometimes you need to feel sorry. Amen. But you need to feel sorry enough. Right? I'm sorry enough that I'm not going to do it anymore. I've repented. Not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Now, how many know what a hedonist is? A hedonist. Hedonism. This is a person who lives only for pleasure. Their whole life revolves around... How many believe that in America today we have a big problem with hedonism? Just living for pleasure, amen? Now listen, once again, you and I were designed to experience pleasure. But misplaced pleasure is where the problem is. Would you say amen? If I'm seeking pleasure in the wrong place... Hedonism is one who lives only for pleasure. You will worship what you fear and what you find pleasure in. Jesus said it, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's at. What he spends his time doing, what he occupies himself with, is where his heart's at. If you found the Lord to be your delight, if you found the Lord to be your joy, if you found the Lord to be the one who completes and fulfills even the deepest longings of your life, and you know that only Jesus can satisfy that deepest longing of a man's soul. Amen. And God wants us to come to Him and fill up on Him and delight in Him and enjoy the pleasures of Him, who is exceeding joy. Because if you are discovering that joy in Him, you don't want the lesser stuff. I don't need to go out and get drunk anymore, amen? Or to get high, because I've discovered my joy is in the Lord. Amen? I don't have to get drunk to try to escape my problems. I run to my Lord, amen? Hallelujah. And I cast my cares upon Him and I rest in Him and I find that peace that passes my own understanding. Amen. I didn't understand it. I should be stressed out. I should be bouncing off the rubber walls right now. But by the grace of God, He sustains me. He keeps me in peace. Amen. So that I'm not overwhelmed with all the stuff that life throws at you. God is our refuge. He's our rest. And in Him is exceeding joy, pleasure at His right hand. So you're going to worship what you fear and what you find pleasure in. And so one form of idolatry is loving pleasure more than God. Remember Paul told Timothy that in 2 Timothy 3:1-5? In verse 4, he said men would be traitors in the last days. They'd be headstrong. They'd be haughty, proud. And he said they'd be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So when you discover the superior pleasures of God, you're not going to be easily drawn away by lesser things. If you're really delighting yourself in the Lord, when you see the inferior stuff, it's like people that know fine wine, you know? Like Mad Dog 2020 or one of them, you know? But, you know, some of that new fine wine, and you take some MD 2020 and put it up there by a really expensive bottle, hey, they're going to say, man, forget that. I'm going with this. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you're experiencing the exceeding joy and the pleasure of God and His presence, we get to enjoy God. When we're here today, we should be enjoying God and enjoying one another. Come on, somebody. How can you love a God who's not lovable or lovely? How can you find delight in a God who's not delightful? We can, because He is just that. He's love. He's delightful. He's wonderful. He's shalom. He's peace and completeness. Perfect peace. That's why we're hungry. We should be people of His presence, amen, abiding and continuing in. And there's a special blessing that God pours out when we're together, when we gather together, amen? We need that fellowship of the believers coming together. Or is this a pouring out of the wine of His love that is of superior quality to the cheaper stuff that the world wants to offer? You see, the teenagers sometimes, God may be pouring out His Spirit. The love of God is flowing. People are just enamored with and infatuated by the glory and the goodness and the wonder of Him. And they're opening their hearts and their lives and their hands are lifted up and they're receiving of the wonderful goodness of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? And then there's somebody back there texting. What's happened? The devil has lied to them. And he said, oh, that text is more important than what's happening right now. He's afraid that someone might just get a hold of God and God get a hold of them. He's afraid that somebody just might experience the goodness of God in such a way that they'll be addicted to Jesus and they don't need the drugs of this world because I find my completeness in Him. He satisfied the deepest longing of my heart. Amen. Ultimate pleasure is found in God alone. He desires you to desire Him. That's the way it is, isn't it? How many here have been married, are married? Your relationship is good when you desire. You've been away for a few days, especially, right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and you can't wait to get back together with your spouse, with your loved one. Amen. When the relationship is healthy. And, you know, it's the way it is with the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel myself getting a little thin. You know, I get distracted or I get bogged down with so much stuff. I need to take time out and just stop. Amen. And get the batteries recharged. Amen. Get a refill. Top off the tank. So I'm not just talking about being topped off. I want to be an overflowing. Amen. Vessel for God. Hallelujah. And religious people aren't going to get it. They're not going to understand it, you know? You think, oh, you're getting a little extreme. You're getting a little carried away with this Jesus stuff. Oh, yeah, I went to that church and they were just swinging from the chandeliers. Well, if God tells you to swing, don't swing from these, by the way. But if, you know what I'm saying? If God gets a hold of you, sometimes you just have this explosion of joy within you and you just got to shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, you didn't need a pep rally. You need somebody up here saying, okay, raise your hands and praise the Lord. You're automatically doing it. Why? The presence of God has touched you. The pleasure of God is filling your soul and you erupt with praise and joy. See, if we'd fill up on Jesus, we wouldn't need the stuff. We wouldn't take the lesser stuff. We wouldn't be attracted to it. Just stay filled up. Y'all know that, right? See, there's so many things sometimes, even from fellowship meetings such as today, that the enemy will present to people and say, ah, you don't need to be there because this thing's going on. Or you're going to miss that game. Or you're going to miss this. You know? And you know, if you're filling yourself up on just that stuff, well, that's going to be your reward. Woohoo! Either your team won or they lost. And man, if they lost, it's a double bummer. Amen? Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared to of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's speaking to His ancient people, Israel. And therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. How many here are attracted to people that really love you? You're attracted to people that really love you. Amen? It's just the way it is. He says, I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. Even after they had blown it and they had sinned, God says, I'm going to rebuild you. And you will again, listen, be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Well, we don't believe in that stuff here. We don't believe in that dancing stuff and those tambourines and that, what is that, pathetic electric thing that they play up there. Electric guitars, those are of the devil. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Make a joyful noise. Whatever you got, amen. Clanging cymbals, you don't got anything but trash can lids, go for it, amen. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, amen. The Bible's full of examples. And David, who was a worshiper at heart, he loved the Lord. He loved His presence. He knew how delightful God truly was. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He was a man that just pursued the heart of God because he knew that only in the heart of God is there a refuge. Is there rest for my soul, even from all my enemies? He said, you will prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. I can come and I can dine at His table. I can banquet with the Lord, even with their enemies all around me. They can't touch this. Amen. I've been given access to the throne of my Father through the blood of Christ. Amen. He wants us to trust our hearts to Him. To be willing to open, really open our lives and let Him in. Not just because of our salvation, guys. You know, sometimes people just stop right there. Well, you know, I got my salvation, I'm saved. But because God wants to give of Himself to us. He not only wants us to be saved, but He wants to give of Himself to His children. Because He's a good father, and a good father gives good gifts to his children. But you got to believe that He is good. And you got to believe that He is, Hebrews 11:6, and that He is a what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Man, if you know, you know what I'm talking about, if there's a treasure somewhere hidden in a field, or and maybe in the ocean, you know? And you got enough money to charter a boat, and you know where this treasure is at. It may cost you everything you own. But you know if you get a hold of that treasure, you're going to be rich. Amen? So you'll spend everything you have to buy that boat to get out to where you know that treasure is. And if you get to that spot, you know you're going to be all set. Oh, I can't even give God 5 minutes of my time. I'm just too busy. My favorite show is getting ready to come on. But you understand, when you are experiencing God, experiencing the joy, the peace, the love, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, all the good graces of who He is, amen? It's like nothing compares to that. What does this world have to offer that could hold a candle to what God is offering me, which is of eternal value? It's eternal. How does God reward us? I know in some circles it's, oh, God rewarded me with a Cadillac, or God rewarded me with, you know, a new suit, or God rewarded me with a nice house. Well, praise God. God can give you good things. Amen. But is that what your pursuit is? Is that the ultimate joy of your life, is to have stuff from God? How about the ultimate is God's presence? His presence in my life. Hallelujah. The ultimate reward is in knowing Him, who is life. And He will reveal Himself to those who will seek Him. And He allows us to drink from the river of His pleasures. The river of His pleasures. God is pleasurable. God is delightful. God truly is good. And when you delight yourself in the Lord, He says, don't worry about that other stuff. Seek first and above everything else the kingdom. Amen? I'll take care of this stuff. Don't be pursuing that stuff. That's just temporary stuff. Amen? You're going to be walking on that stuff in heaven, all right? Some people are chasing after gold. You're going to be walking on it, right? In heaven. You know that. So we're not chasing after wind and sand and living for just a temporary woohoo. We want to experience the pleasure of knowing God, having a relationship with God where my life is filled with Jesus. Oh, thank God there's always that refuge. We can always come back. If you've drifted off course, maybe you've gotten distracted. Maybe these things have kind of gotten a hold of you temporarily and they've kind of brought you to a place where your life really isn't complete. You're trying to fill yourself up. You're trying to be satisfied. You're trying to be happy. But everything you try to do never makes you happy, because happiness is the Lord, and only in Him can you find true happiness. I believe that a Christian should be happy. It doesn't mean everything goes well. It doesn't mean there's going to be suffering in the offering. But it means you can have joy in the midst of whatever's going on, because God is your joy. And it's the joy of the Lord that will give you the ability to endure. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So be joyful in the journey. Rejoice always, like Paul said. Look at it from the right perspective. Here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. God's coming. The Lord is returning. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. He's going to call us home. Amen? But right now, God wants you and I to partner with Him in calling heaven to earth, in the sense that He wants to manifest Himself in the natural, in the now. He wants heaven to overshadow the natural. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes people are just like, well, I got to say, no, I'm just waiting for the rapture or to God get me out of here. God says, no, I want to invade the darkness of this world, and I want you to be a vessel. Instead of waiting around to go to heaven, let's bring heaven to our homes. Bring heaven to our workplaces. Bring heaven to Walmart. Bring heaven to Shelton. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Call in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, pour out your Spirit. God, saturate us with your holy presence. Set our hearts on fire for you. Lord, make us a living flame of love for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to blaze. We want to burn for you. Hallelujah. So, Lord, reignite the flame within my heart. Set me on fire again. God, help me to get over the past, over what was, to walk in what is now. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of heaven is here. Because where the Lord is, there's heaven. Someday we'll go to our mansion, that dwelling place He's prepared. But for right now, God says, I want people to know my goodness. I want them to experience the pleasure of knowing me. And the part of, and the cross was all about you and I being reconciled, to be brought back into friendship with God, a friend with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that amazing? We can be a friend with the Lord. Now He's the Lord. He's God. Amen. We reverence Him. We honor Him. We glorify Him. But He's also someone who's safe. Amen. We can confide in Him. We can trust Him. We can give our hearts and our lives to Him and know that He knows what to do with a broken life. Amen. If you're willing to give it all to God, fully surrender to Him, He can do amazing things. Transformation of hearts and lives. Set your heart on fire. Where all of a sudden you just want to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to talk about what God did and what God is doing. Hallelujah to other people, because your life is overflowing with the glory of God. You're a cup that runneth over. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants you and I to know how much He loves us, how much He wants us to be with Him, how much He wants us to find our delight, find our pleasure, find our joy, find our completeness in Him and Him alone. Have no other gods before Him, no lesser gods, amen, to bow down to. that are offering you cheap counterfeits that can't satisfy, that leave you empty and produce death. But God came that we might have life. And life more abundantly. Psalms 36:7, the psalmist said, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." When you know how good God is, you will trust Him. You will be willing to open up. Amen? "They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures." If we can just get our young people especially to understand, God is joy, pure peace, pure love. Everything that you're looking for and searching for on the internet, amen, is not going to satisfy you. You need to turn to your Creator. He went all the way to the cross so you and I could be reconciled to Him and enjoy fellowship once again with Him in the Spirit and enjoy an abundant, overflowing, superior quantity life with Jesus Christ. That's what God is saying. It's not about, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's like, I don't want to do that. I want to do what pleases God. Amen? I want to delight my Father. I want to put a smile on Jesus' face. Joy is not a thing. It's a person. God is our exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Psalms 43:3 says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." He's saying to himself, why are you depressed? You need to put your focus back on the Lord. You need to turn to God. You need to run to God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many have been in a relationship before where you just madly in love? Everything else was secondary, right? You'd even call off sick from work just so you can be with your lover. Don't recommend that, but that was your priority of your life. You were passionately in love. And there was pleasure in that relationship. And you wanted to be with the one that brought you such pleasure. Are you hearing me, somebody? And we have pure pleasure in the Lord. And we are called to delight and rejoice in Him. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." How many parents here want to give their children the desires of their heart? Amen? But how many know there also needs to be some kind of responsibility and respectability towards mom and dad? Amen. If you're a good kid, amen. Well, maybe we'll go get some ice cream later on. How many know God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? And He rewards us with His presence. Guys, listen. So much of the preaching today has been about stuff, you know. Some of these churches, they're just preaching about, get the stuff. You know, you give your money and you'll get the stuff. It's like, man, you totally lost sight of what it's all about. And that stuff's not going to make you happy. And then people get upset. Well, I gave all this money. I was supposed to get 100-fold return on it and nothing happened. What are you really pursuing? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in earthly things or in eternal things? We have a little taste of heaven, don't we? Even today as we're gathering and as we've been worshiping together and God's been just pouring out His Spirit and He's touching our hearts with the pleasure of His presence. Amen. And how enjoyable He is. And we just love it, don't we? Hallelujah. Well, you know what? There's more. You got to be like Katie, man. You got to just get a big drink, you know? Drink from the big bottle, man. Drink deeply, right? Hallelujah. And you know, of such is the kingdom. Sometimes, guys, we just got to become children again. And we get to come to our Father, our Heavenly Daddy, amen? And all that we have need of, He's got. Just have a humble attitude and a receptive heart and know that God is a lover and He's good and He wants to give good gifts to us kids, amen? So He wants to give us His Holy Spirit, His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. See, too many people are just snacking. They're at the snack table. You know, dipping chips, right? Man, we got to get to the prime rib. Get to the good stuff. We need to get to the banquet. God is saying, I prepared a banquet before you. Wait on Him. Take the time to go deeper. Immerse yourself in the love of God. To where all your problems, all your stress, all your anxiety, all your fears, all your depression disappears. It cannot abide in the presence of a God who is holy, amen, and righteous and joy. To get back to the place where I can't wait. The next time we get together even as a family, amen, because we're going to wait on God. Hallelujah. We're going to drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua, salvation. We're not going to splash around the kiddie pool. Man, we're going for it. We're going to go into the deep end where the Spirit of God just takes me. Hallelujah. He's the wind beneath my sails, as they say. Amen, guys? Forgetting what's behind today, right now, pressing forward. Amen? Get back. Press into the heart of God. I want to share a few things that I think are important. And many of you heard of the Greek philosopher Plato. It's not that stuff that kids play with. It's Plato. Made a distinction between two parts of man. Reason, the mind and its capacity to reason. Two parts of man, the reason. And passion, including the emotions. He concluded that reason was the supreme part of nature, our nature, which should subdue the lower parts, the feelings and emotions. So he put a dividing line between the two. Okay. Now, Darwin wrote that emotions were leftover remnants from ancient animalistic behaviors. No wonder people are out killing each other, amen, and having no remorse. Again, an attempt to quench the emotions. Sigmund Freud. You know, modern mind science, psychiatry, right? Psychology. Followed the same theme of relegating the emotions to a bodily origin connected to the nervous system. So we're just this biological thing that evolved, right? That's what Darwin was teaching. Why is this important to note? It's because these men were deceivers. They were void of the Spirit. God created you as a whole being, body, soul, and spirit. And He wants us to be preserved blameless before Him, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? The body He will transform, amen, into His own, like His own glorious body. But our body is a temple of God. And the pleasure centers are something that God gave us so that we could experience the pleasures of Him. Are you hearing me? And we would delight in Him. And that He would be my exceeding joy. And the lesser things is like, okay, that was fun, but it doesn't compare to Jesus. I'm just hoping today that God will stir up in your heart a desire, a passion to pursue and seek Him and go deeper to where your life is immersed. And you're full of joy, full of His peace. Even when things go wrong, you're not being shaken. Why? Because you're full of Him, and in His presence is perfect peace. He will sustain you. He will take you through any situation. You can overcome anything because the overcomer is in you. Draw near to Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What was happening in Acts chapter 2 is they were not drunk as you suppose, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And there was noticeable to the people around them, something's going on over here. There's a celebration going on, because when God shows up, it's pure pleasure. Come on, it's fun. And I know there's some people out there that kill joys. They said, oh no, you got to be miserable. You got to constantly living in this state of fear and not measuring up. And oh, I'm not worthy. Well, God thought you were worthy. God redeemed you because you were worth something to Him. He makes you worthy. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He is our garment. Amen. He covers us with Himself so that we can come with confidence before our Father's throne. We don't have to live in fear and shame and regret of what happened 5 minutes ago. Take it to Jesus. Leave it at the altar. Amen. Thank God for the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that He gives us. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind, we press on. Has anybody here ever experienced love and not felt it? Not felt it? Has anyone ever experienced peace and joy and not felt it? I know, it's a challenge, isn't it? Can you experience pleasure and not feel it? You see, God gave you your emotions. But your emotions need to be submitted to the Spirit of God. Amen? You need to do everything by the Word of God. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. And the Word of God is what's going to keep you, amen, in His direction, in the right direction. So, it's okay if you express yourself, even as the psalmist did, as he danced before the Lord. How many know that David got filled with the Holy Spirit that day when the Ark of the Covenant was coming into Jerusalem? Amen. And he danced with all his might, with full abandon. How many know it's okay for the people of God to be joyful in their King? And we've got to get over the opinions of men who will look down their lashes and say, that was inappropriate. But you know, my heart goes out to people that are missing it because, unfortunately, because of that, that they're serving God in a legalistic sense. It's all about do's and don'ts. I did enough do's, I did enough don'ts, you know. Did I do enough good to outweigh the bad? Does God love me? Yeah. Well, that's true. Does God love me more because I did good? How many know God loved you when you weren't good? He died for you when you weren't good, but He died for you so you could become good in Him. He is your goodness. And when He is in you, His Spirit is within you, He changes your desire. He writes that law on your heart. And you begin to desire the things that He desires and hate the things He hates. And you walk together in agreement in a harmonious place in the Lord. Amen. Where you experience the peace of fellowship with Him. And the joy of knowing Him is your greatest desire. Let me just say this and I'll finish. Satan wants to rob you of the pleasure of knowing and experiencing God. He wants people to think that God is boring. He's unpleasurable. He's not worthy of pursuit. Oh, you're just going to go and get bored. I've heard young people say that, probably some older people, they just didn't say it. I don't want to go to church. Church is boring. Well, if you're encountering Jesus, you're not going to get bored. If you're shut down to what's happening and what God is doing, yeah, I'd be bored too. But when I realize that God is inviting me to His table, to His banqueting table, He's taking me into His secret chamber, the Song of Solomon says. He's bringing me to His wine cellar. He's bringing me to that place that only special guests are allowed to be in. And you and I are His special guests because we are the redeemed of the Lord. And because of the righteousness of the Lord, we've been given the garments, amen, of righteousness, so we can come with confidence into our Father's house and we can enjoy communion with the Lord. And we can share of His life and experience the joy of knowing Him. That peace that passes all understanding. And delight yourself in Him who truly satisfies you. And then, if we can just get people to understand, listen, guys, there's so much more that God has. You got to put away the idols. You got to keep yourself from idols. Amen? Quit filling yourself up on inferior and lesser things. Go after God. I remember just a few years ago, we were in a place just before we came over here, and we were in a place, guys, where we were meeting 5 days a week. Every night we'd get at 6 o'clock, something like that. You know, we wouldn't get out sometimes till 11, 12. Nobody wanted to go anywhere. Nobody wanted to go home because the presence of the Lord was so glorious and so wonderful and so pleasurable. It's like, the game? Forget the game, man. Are you hearing me? Forget the sitcom. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, you press in, and you really pursue God with all your heart, and you find, amen, that He is truly exceeding joy, peace that passes all understanding, perfect love where there's no fear, there's no torment. Your life is satisfied. Your life overflows with the goodness of God, and people know, just like they did with Peter and John, that you've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. It didn't matter how educated you were. All you need to do is be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it's His life that we want to present to the world. Amen. So we've got to be overflowing in His life. Not only will we be satisfied, but your heart will be to see others satisfied in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.